Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to share with you more nuggets from the Word of God and the truthful things of God. And I want to share with you again some thinking around the word of peace. We have seen that peace is there, and we've discovered things in, for instance, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 23, which reads this way, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of Christ." Now, if you back this up, I would like to do that into verse 15. The apostle is saying, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Jesus is so faithful, and he keeps us. Well, let's see this precious faith. Something about it. Peace is a very precious thing. Those without Christ know that truth can be absolutely awful, according to Romans 3 and verse 17. The way of peace they have not known, says Romans 3:17. People haven't known peace. They've only known fighting, squabbling, and trying to climb on other people's backs to take over their positions and all of those dreadful things. If you go into Isaiah 59, verse 8, "As in the day of Noah," we gather from Matthew 24 and verses 37 through 38, "As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." We know from Genesis 6:11 that it was a day full of violence. Today there is abundant care to keep violence going. Not long ago, I was not feeling well, and so I turned the TV on, and I was just sitting in my chair. I should really have spent the time reading the Word of God, which would have fed my soul and fed my spirit. But my body was hurting so much I didn't want to think, so I was watching TV. And it didn't matter what channel I chose to go to. Somebody was being shot, somebody was being knifed, somebody was dying, somebody was being attacked, somebody was being hurt, somebody was being bashed and smashed and crashed. So it went on. And I suddenly got to the point after a little while, there's nothing worth watching. It's just a load of nonsense. And if all of this violence goes on the television, you know that the violence goes on in the real world, like the young man who said, "Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," in England, and was trying to cut off the head of a soldier in Woolwich in London. I know Woolwich well, and I know that part of London well. And it's a great shame that such a thing could happen in the streets of London. But he was the hero of the day, it seemed, and he could breathe into the camera and say what he said, unthreatened. It seems a dreadful thing to me that we are in a day of such terrific violence. We hear of the people in Benghazi who were killed maliciously, carelessly, and their own government didn't attend them. It seems a dreadful thing to me that our soldiers are thrust in Pakistan into a war that they can't win, they can't get through, they can't maintain, and they're going to be withdrawn anyway sometime in 2014. They have lost that war now, and all the blood and all the grief that that has caused, and all the limbs and all the damage done to pure bodies, bodies that were young and virile, and minds that were so full of life, are shattered. And we happily throw people into these battles. And we happily say, we won. What glory it is. I've been on the battlefield and I've been a soldier. And I have to say to you, I have never seen any glory in any death I've ever witnessed. I grew up in the Second World War. And I used to help my father bring out the casualties from the bombed houses and places where people were caught up in the debris. I was strong and young and smaller than the big men, and I could crawl in amongst the debris and find bodies and find people alive. And so I was sent in and all that sort of thing. I've seen death. I've seen death at its worst. And I have to say to you, it's not funny. There's no glory in it. Yet when I went in to be a soldier, my mother took me aside and she said, now remember this. It's better to die than become a prisoner of war. There is no glory in being a prisoner of war. I thought, well, that's a great send-off. I hadn't thought of being a prisoner of war, and I certainly hadn't thought about dying. But she wanted me to know that whatever it was, I'd better bring back some glory or I wouldn't be very happy in the home. And it was a funny thing. I didn't understand her. I do now. But I didn't at the time. But she had come through the First World War. And the First World War, people had died and been taken captive and all that sort of thing that went on in that dreadful war. And the carnage was absolutely awful. There is no glory in that sort of thing, but there is violence. Consider this. In 12 years of fighting in Vietnam, the America lost 57,000 people. In one day, at the Battle of Ypres, I think it was 1917 or 16, the British, never mind anybody else, it was before the Americans came to fight in 1917, I think. My chronology may be wrong. The British lost in that one day 72,000 men. In one day. To say nothing of what the Germans lost. We live in a realm of violence, and we bring it into our homes, we allow it in our homes, we watch it in our homes, we think it's the norm. It is not the norm that we bring it in, and we have such violence, full of violence. Genesis 6:11, full of violence is the days of Noah. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus is about to come, all this violence is going to be let loose, and we see this violence happening. We see Iran threatening this country, North Korea threatening this country. So far, they're threats. But we see Syria going against whoever, and we see Iran building its warheads bigger and bigger so that they can get into Israel. We see Israel arming, ready to shoot them down and keep them at bay. We see all of this going on. It's a violent area. Turkey seems to be in an upheaval. It's violence. And so this violence is there. Let's accept the fact and let's get on. But in our own streets, in our own homes, in our own communities, there is dreadful violence going on. And more will happen. Because as Jesus reaches the time when God the Father says, let's end this world as we know it, when that comes, the violence will reach a crescendo and it will be shattering and frightening. Men and women will be calling out and God will have deaf ears. He has sent his Son that we might believe in him. Don't betray your own spirit and forget that. I want to carry on and say to you that the body, which is the sense of consciousness, it has five senses, we're told. There's sight, there's hearing, there's smelling, there is tasting, and there is touching. This body of yours is a glorious body. It's a beautiful body. It's beautiful. Don't let people tell you that it's a wicked body, it's a terrible body. As a child, I grew up in a generation that, oh, you've got a body, but you mustn't talk about your body. Well, today we over-talk about our bodies and we over-expose our bodies, and we need to be more careful than we are, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our bodies are to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. And we need to get ourselves in shape so that we can receive the Lord Jesus by trusting him and following him all the days of our lives, that we may dwell in this house of God forever. It is very important that you and I understand that we see Jesus. We listen to God's word. There's a sense in, as we sit at the banquet table with the Lord Jesus, we smell the food of the Word of God. We taste the food of the Word of God, and we touch the hem of his garment, and we are allowed to touch him, for we have boldness before the throne of grace. We present ourselves just as we are, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, we come. That should be us. And I would like to also say, look at this. It says, the soul, that is the self-conscious, the intellect, the emotions that come from the senses. We have all sorts of emotions. We have all kinds of intelligence. We are a people who have great abilities, because God has put in us a self-consciousness. Our soul is conscious. When our conscience is jabbing at us, it's not jabbing at our spirit, it is jabbing at our soul. And our soul has to respond. We know what's right, we know what's wrong, but we need the Lord Jesus' power to live in the right and to fend off the wrong. Then there is the spirit. It is the God consciousness. So we have three consciences. There's a sense consciousness, self-consciousness, now God consciousness. There's no blessed part from God by which we are able to worship him. We are a whole person, and that whole person has to come to the place where we worship him. Notice the element being this, that the whole person by the Spirit is kept unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's as if there's a cocoon put around us, and in that cocoon we live till the day that Jesus comes. And when the day that Jesus comes arrives, we are presented. Now, whether I live or die doesn't matter. That's only my body, but my soul that is in love with the Lord Jesus, my spirit which is guided by the Lord Jesus, these two are alive and they will not die. They will live for eternity. And because they live for eternity, I need a resting place. My soul has found a resting place in Jesus Christ my Lord. There's an old hymn that we used to sing. It's a beautiful hymn because it examines the very basis of our thinking. We remain in the presence of Jesus. And because we're in the presence of Jesus, listen to Jesus speaking in John 10, verse 28 and 9. He says, nobody's going to take you out of my hand. And to make sure of that, you're in my Father's hand, and nobody can take you out of his hand at all. It's as if two hands have cupped and caught you. If you imagine yourself as a ball and it's been hit by the bat and it's going across the field, and one hand grabs the ball and the other hand cups over that hand and holds the ball, and the ball stays inside the captured hand. We are captured, as it were, by Jesus, and that's why Paul calls himself a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have all these feelings and thoughts. And may he, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. holy is the word, but through and through and without flaws may be your spirit and your soul and body without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be kept. William Hendrickson has translated this verse that way. You see, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's in verse 24. Look at the faithfulness of God. God's not going to break his word. Jesus said, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. We live in a time where everybody is thrown around by this authority, that authority. Some people say we've lost our freedoms. Well, maybe so, but it is in the end times, and we're expecting to lose our lives if necessary for the Lord Jesus at this time. So don't be frightened, because Jesus is with you. Again, the scripture speaks to us. Don't be frightened of the things you can't do anything about. Jesus said, I'll tell you who to be frightened of. Be fearful of him who, after death, can cast your soul into hell fire. That's where your fear should be. And that should cause the population of our country and the population of our communities to run to the Lord Jesus. We run and we ring 911 when we're in trouble. We run to the police and we run to the fire brigade when our houses are on fire and when some calamity is happening in our vicinity. Well, now, let's understand, without Jesus Christ, we are in a dreadful fire. And we're in range of being in a dreadful experience for eternity, not just for a short time. God said this. When the rich man got into eternity and cried out and said, let Lazarus, that poor man, let him come from Abraham's bosom and dip his finger in water and with the tip of his finger just touch the tip of my tongue that I may be released from this torment. We don't think about this because it's not nice. We don't like to think God will not break his word on this subject. The only way we can avoid knowing the terror of the Lord, we preach Christ unto you. The only way we can understand to get out of this mess is to come to Christ and receive him as Savior and love him and serve him with the rest of our lives. Get off the old poor me business and get on to what glory it is, what wonderful things there are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you this. There's a beautiful story in Matthew 18 and verses 14 through 15. And we read that Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Now, that's a simple statement. Doesn't seem to mean very much. Lots of people go to bed with a fever. Yet she was in a pretty bad way. They told Jesus these words. Peter's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. The Lord Jesus never will visit anybody haphazardly. He went to Peter's house. He is the unseen guest and the silent listener in all our homes. He had been with the centurion, we read in verses 8 through 13, and now with Peter. It was inconvenient, but it was necessary. And he had blessed the leper in verses 2 through 4 of Matthew 8. Now he blesses Peter's household. The sickness is there. She's out of health, out of feeling well, out of energy, out of joy. She's sick. She was of a fever. She had pain, she was aching, a loss of function, a loss of memory, a loss of strength. Vision is distorted by the fires of the mind. Everything is different. Thirst, unquenchable. She laid in bed because of the weakness. Always people that lay in bed is because of weakness, and it lays us low. There was a repercussion. She was very slow, and the fever takes a very exacting toll. Then there came the remedy. Jesus walked in the house, and if you read that story, you'll read that he touched her hand, and the fever left. And you'll read that she arose. This is verse 15 of Matthew 8. You'll read that the fever left, and that she arose, and she ministered to them. She had strength replaced. She had renewed strength. She had renewed vision, and so it goes on. She was made a new person. Now the fever of sin may have grasped your soul, all the maladies that that presents us with. In every situation, we find Jesus was working with those that were in great need, and the need came from the experience of people. People had an experience, and Jesus had to deliver them from the evil of this present evil world. He did. Their distress and distrust, their despair and disappointment were all taken away. He knows your need. He wipes the brow and he keeps you from falling. The Lord Jesus is massively concerned on your behalf. It is important to understand all this. It is important to ponder in the Word of God, to ponder and to think. Not to ponder and not to think is to perish. So we need to ponder these things and understand them. You see, the apostle here is saying to these dear people in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Be always in prayer, in other words. But he starts off, don't render evil for evil. Somebody's going to attack you. Somebody's going to speak badly of you. Don't render evil for evil. Warn them that are unruly, people that are getting silly about things, people that will pretend to be Christian and pretend they know the Word of God and fail hopelessly as a result of the wickedness that is in the heart and not dealt with. And you'll find that you need real comfort. So he says, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and don't do this rendering evil for evil. Don't be one of those people. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. But then he says, rejoice evermore. There have been times, I will admit, in my life, where I couldn't rejoice. I couldn't sing. I didn't want to sing. I couldn't pray. I didn't want to pray. One day I read about a great man of God, Hudson Taylor, who got the China Inland Mission on its feet, and he led the missionaries into China, and they took the gospel to the back streets of China and to the back areas. He was ill. He said, I lay upon my bed. He had not long buried his wife and two children. He said, I lay upon my bed. I cannot read. I cannot think. I cannot pray properly. I can simply only lay in the arms of Jesus. And I have to tell you, I didn't understand that. For years I didn't understand that. But then my turn came. It came like the rushing mighty wind, and I was, as it were, on the Sea of Galilee. And if I could cry out, I would say, Master, carest thou not that I perish? I was yelling at God, please, help me. And then the words of the hymn came across my mind, help of the helpless. It's from the hymn Abide With Me. And the line that came out to me was, help of the helpless, help me. I was helpless. I couldn't stand. I was unhappy and uncomfortable sitting. I was equally uncomfortable laying. So what more was left me? Lord, I'm helpless. But that was an experience that I went through. And the Lord took hold of me. Soon I found that I was laying in his arms, just laying there. Sometimes my heart was breaking, and sometimes my soul was severely chastised, as it were. My body hurt so badly, didn't know what to do. Help of the helpless, abide with me, live in me. He did, and I survived. and Jesus is with me to this day. Well, now, I must stop. But I do want to say to you, dear friends, don't be without the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You'll never fathom, you'll never be able to work out how wonderful this peace is, but just learn what is the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the great love with which he hath loved you and flooded your soul. Love him back. Come to Jesus Christ the Lord. Trust him as your Saviour and put your faith in him. And never mind what's going on in the world, and never mind what's going on in your heart. He has forgiven you. Receive that forgiveness and live in peace. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, grant peace in the hearts of those listening. Let all the fires and flames of lust and spirit and the things that are wrong, let them be cast away, and let the fire of the Holy Spirit take the place. Let us all who love you follow you, that as saints for Jesus, we may live for you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Goodbye. God bless.